Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, there's been a lot about plastic waste recently, particularly about single-use plastics like disposable straws, cups and plates. Plastic just doesn't degrade like natural things, like tree leaves perhaps. So what if disposable plates and dishes were made of leaves? I spoke to Meera, who's got a great idea. Meera, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So tell us about your disposable crockery. What's it made from?
So these are made from natural leaves. They fall off from the trees and they're on the ground. And then they're cleaned and we put them together as plates and crockery and, wow, and lovely things for people to use.
Do you know, I love the idea that these are leaves that have actually, even the trees finished with them. They're on the ground. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
So where did you get the idea from?
It all started when we had a party at home. And we had a big mountain of plastic plates and cutlery, and it was not the best sight for the entire family.
Yes,
and that was a defining moment for me to think about how we can change our lives, and this is where the idea started.
Okay, where do you get the plates that are made from leaves from? Where do you source them from?
It's rather strange. I actually grew up in an environment where all these leaves were made. And in retrospect, these are the materials that we used to use as children for various community festivities.
Okay. And where is this?
This is in South India. It's a place called Karnataka. That's right. Where I'm from.
Oh, right. Okay. So they're ahead of us there. They're already using leaves for plates and things like that, already using biodegradable things. So they sound a bit flimsy. Can plates made of leaves be strong enough to eat from?
Well, the nature of the leaves itself is such that it's very strong and sturdy. And as long as you don't put any liquid on it, it retains the form. And despite that, it doesn't leak. So it's a fantastic material to use.
Wow, that's great. And also, you said the leaves fall onto the ground. Can we be sure that they're clean to eat from?
Absolutely. So we have a team of people who work on ensuring that these are collected properly and then cleaned and hard-pressed so that the best quality is maintained.
Yeah, indeed. And then say, for instance, we use some of these, how do we dispose of them?
So there are two ways of doing it. One, you can have it, put it in the compostable bin, the food bin, or a lot of people tend to also put it in the garden waste, and it works either ways. It works absolutely fine.
Brilliant.
It goes back to the soil.
Yes. Well, as you'd expect leaves to, in fact. Brilliant. So you're just starting out in business. How can we buy the leaf crockery from you?
So the best way to do it is to either call us, send us an email. We are on social media. We are on various platforms. And the best part is within St. Albans and 10 miles of radius of St. Albans, we deliver it free.
Excellent.
And for everyone else outside St. Albans, we do ship it across to them.
Okay. And your company, what's it called?
It's called the Blue Speck, and it's inspired by astronomers when they were just stepping out of our planetary system.
Yeah.
One last time they had a glimpse of Mother Earth. And it just looked like a tiny blue speck.
Blue speck. That's lovely, isn't it? That's really lovely. So the blue speck, I'll make sure that goes onto our Radio Verulam website so people can see that there. And if they are interested in the plates, do you have different sizes or is it sort of one size fits all for leaf plates?
Well, we have a huge variety of them. You can have them for a 3-course, 4-course meal. You can have it as a party wear. And then you can we have dessert bowls.
Wow.
And a huge variety that you must try and use.
Yes. Well, that's right. This isn't just mucking in. This is the real McCoy, isn't it? Wonderful. So we can't just find you online. We can also come and see you in person, can't we? It's an event during Sustainable St. Albans Week. Would you like to just tell us which event that is? We'll find you at.
Oh, yes. We are at the picnic on 22nd April from 12 to 4 p.m.
Yep.
And this is in Highfield Park.
That's right, the plastic-free picnic, a perfect place for your lovely crockery made of leaves. Meera, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thank you, Amanda.
And I was talking there to Meera from the Blue Speck. And just to confirm, the plastic-free picnic will be on the first Sunday of Sustainable St. Albans Week. That's the 22nd of April from 12 to 2 at the area in Highfield Park behind Charters Health Club, known as the Village Green. Bring along a picnic using as little plastic as you can and enjoy story time for the enterprise, games for everybody else. And apparently the Mayor of St. Albans will also be there, and you'll be able to find out more about the launching of plastic-free St. Albans. And you can find out about all the Sustainable St. Albans Week events on sustainablestalbans.org. Now, it's not just Highfield Park that's taking part in Sustainable St. Albans Week. Verulamium Park is joining in too, with a guided walk exploring the life and land of the park. Bernard, the park ranger, joined me to explain what we can look forward to. Bernard, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, to the untrained eye, the park looks like, well, grass, a few trees, Roman remains, and a lake with too many geese. But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
I think there is more to it than that. I mean, your description is fair. There's a lot of grass, but, you know, there's a huge amount of mature woodland when you talk about trees, and a lot of our regular visitors, you'd be surprised how much time they spend in the woods, and that's their favourite part of the park. So we've got an enormous amount of mature woodland. The lakes, of course, are favourite with families.
Yeah. But you're right about it, actually. You know, having mature woodland in effectively what is like the sort of centre of the city is fantastic, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, it's almost like a green lung. I mean, we've got large amounts of oak and beech, for example. We've got hornbeam and all sorts of other interesting trees that really come to life now as spring appears. So we've got the hawthorn blossoms and so on, and people love the park in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
It's their favourite time of
the year.
Right.
And these are all lovely indigenous trees that are great for wildlife, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, at this time, those people who are familiar with the Causeway Path, for example, where the oak and the beech are, it's Woodpecker Alley. I mean, they're competing drumming from the various woodpeckers up and down the path. It's beautiful.
Is that right?
Yes, early in the morning in particular.
Ah, of course, being a park ranger, you'll see that sort of thing, won't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So are there any other animals that live in the park then? I mean, obviously you see the geese and the heron, but anything else?
Yeah, I think the favourite for most visitors are the wildfowl, of course.
Yeah.
So we've got more than enough Canada geese, but we've got a resident heronry, and there are 9 or 10 nesting pairs this year.
Yes.
Later in the year, you'll see cormorants on the lake and the beautiful little white egrets.
Oh, yes, of course.
And at the moment, I don't know where they're going to stay. We've got some Egyptian geese, which there's a hint of the exotic on the lake at the moment as well. They're lovely to look at.
So these are sort of migrant birds that have just sort of popped in for a bit?
Yeah, they seem to be irregular visitors, and those people who are drawn to the park will come in particular to see our more irregular visitors.
Right, okay. So, you know, actually more than meets the eye there. And you actually manage the park in a quite a wildlife-friendly way as well, don't you? Don't you tell us a bit about your wildlife meadow?
Well, yeah, the meadows, we've got meadows which can flood at certain times of the year. And at the Westminster Lodge end, for those people who know the park, that's a fairly natural organic development, so there's a lot of marginal growth of various species which are appreciated by the wildfowl, actually, and they'll feed off it. And of course, you get a lot of wildflowers and daffs at this time of the year as well. So the meadows are beautiful at this time of year.
Yeah.
Okay. Albeit you need a pair of wellies if you're going to visit.
Well, as you say, but it's all really just left to be natural. It's not being drained. It's left really to be somewhere, you know, for wildlife, but actually we enjoy it as well, don't we?
Well, the river, of course, is a natural amenity. And over the years, it's been shifted. The position's been shifted, which has led to some problems within the park and the river. But that naturally flows through the park, especially at the Westminster Lodge end. People appreciate that.
Yeah, indeed. So you're holding a walk during Sustainable St. Albans Week.
And
you're going to talk about you have an expert coming to talk about the flora and the fauna and a bit about the archaeology. And another thing that I saw on your little advert was that you're going to talk about ecotones. Now, I've not heard of this. Bernard, can you tell us what ecotones are?
Okay, well, I'm not the expert on ecotones.
Oh, right.
And I will have a colleague who will come in to speak about the interplay between the various kinds of landscape, between the grasslands and the meadows and the woods. But the ecotones represents that changing landscape within the site of the park.
Okay, so if you're interested in finding out what ecotones are, then you need to come along to the walk then. So just before we talk about when the walk's going to be, is there anything new coming up that we should look out for in the coming year in the park?
Certainly in terms new and newsworthy. A lot of the people will now be familiar with the fact that there's a project afoot to radically improve and redevelopment and redevelop the river there itself
yeah.
as it runs through the park and restore it to its, you know, its beautiful chalk stream nature as it originally was, and improve the water quality within the lakes at the same time. Now, that's open for consultation on the St Albans SADC website currently for those who are interested. But we'd in the next year or two, we're going to have a much improved landscape, both for wildlife and flora and fauna, and yeah. indeed visitors to the park.
Excellent. So it's going to be exciting times for you. So yeah. just tell us when your guided tour of Verulamium Park is taking place.
The guided tour is on Wednesday, the 25th of April, and we'll have two tours on the day, one starting at 10 o'clock in the morning and the other at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'll last approximately 2 hours.
Okay. And if it's raining, what happens?
We wear appropriate clothing. We never close for bad weather, Amanda.
Oh, that's good to know, isn't it? You're a tough lot at the park.
We are.
Bernard, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Bernard, the park keeper from Verulamium Park. Now, something Bernard did tell me after we'd recorded the interview was that during busy periods in the summer, he and other park keepers spend their whole day picking up litter, especially from the splash park area. Well, Plastic Free St Albans have got together with the Inn on the Park to find a solution. Now, if you've been to the beach recently, you might have seen a board offering you a biodegradable bag and encourage you to spend a couple of minutes filling it with litter. Well, it's a great idea. And what Plastic Free St Albans are proposing is that the Inn on the Park has one of these boards. Now, the Inn on the Park will take care of the board and it will be particularly important to pick up all that litter from the splash park before it, you know, blows down into the lake. Well, if you think that it's a good idea, you can make a donation to their crowdfunder to pay for the board via the Plastic Free St Albans Facebook page or the Inn on the Park website. So it does feel a little bit more spring, doesn't it? And the birds are singing. And I spoke earlier to Dan Fletcher from St Albans RSPB to find a little bit more about what's going on in the bird world. Dan, thank you for joining me.
No, thank you. You're welcome.
It's an exciting time for birds at the moment, isn't it?
It's certainly a spring is a great time for birds and for bird watchers to see what's going on. It's a time of migration of birds arriving and some leaving and birds singing and mating and nesting.
Yes.
There's lots going on, and it's a good time to start looking out for the first swallow of the year and that sort of thing as well.
Yes, yeah. That really would feel like summer, wouldn't it?
Yes.
First swallow, I haven't seen one yet. I have seen some larks, though, doing that lovely singing thing that they do up
yes.
at Hartwood.
Yes, that really helps you realise that winter's gone and spring is coming.
Well, fingers crossed. And how are the herons getting on down at Verulamium?
Okay, so the herons, they've started nesting a while back in January, and we've been down there. We think there are probably about 9 nests that are active, with herons sitting on those on eggs in quite a few of those nests. Time will tell over the next few weeks when we see the chicks hatch. But
is 9 a standard number of nests that you'd expect?
It sort of varies between 9 and 13. So 9 is a little bit on the low side, but it's not bad. And there could be more nests there that. As the season develops, it will become more evident.
Yeah. Okay. So when will the Heron Watch volunteers be out there with the telescope so that we can see the action?
Yes, so we've been down there already. We did the weekend before Easter and then over the Easter weekend. We're there from 11 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Volunteers down near the ice cream van, near the Fighting Cocks.
Oh, yes.
We're there to show people the herons and everything that's going on the island. So we're there on the weekends from now until the 7th of May, which is the first bank holiday weekend in May.
Okay, and you're there during Sustainable St Albans Week, which is
April. At the end of April. We're very pleased that it coincides with Sustainable St Albans Week, and so the 4 sessions during that week are heron watch sessions as well.
Wonderful. Now, you've got local RSPB has got a guided walk also during Sustainable St Albans Week. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so the RSPB St Albans often do, most months we do a midweek walk, and this one we've managed to coincide it with Sustainable St Albans Week on Monday the 23rd of April, and we generally do a walk fairly local to St Albans, and this is down at Brickett Wood where the Colne and the Ver join, and we're hoping to see a variety of birds, river birds, kingfishers, herons, moorhens, ducks, but also some warblers, maybe recently arrived migrating warblers, garden warblers, white throats, black okay. caps, that sort of thing.
So a whole variety there then. So do we need to know about these birds to appreciate the walk?
We have lots of people come on our walk, some who are really avid birders who are very good at hearing birds and knowing what they're identifying and really into their birds. And we also have people who just like going out in the countryside and like to see a bird or two and enjoy the walk with sort of like-minded people. Oh, so yeah. We have quite a range who are our regulars, and we're happy to welcome all sorts of people along who maybe haven't been on a RSVB St Albans walk before.
Excellent. So you like to sort of share your knowledge and things. So
yes, we always make sure that everybody who comes along is able to see the birds that we're spotting, and we walk along slowly enough to make that happen.
Okay, that sounds good. So we'll need to take our own binoculars, presumably.
Ideally, we do generally carry at least one spare, but yes, if people have binoculars, that would help, because it's a lot easier to see the birds with binoculars.
Okay, and presumably weather gear and
yes.
boots and things.
Yeah, down by the river it's going to be a bit damp, I imagine, so the rivers are quite high at the moment. So yes, there will be muddiness, so yeah.
Okay. Wet weather gear. And do we need to book?
It would be helpful if people did book on the RSPB St Albans website and the Sustainable St Albans Week website. There's an Eventbrite link to the event, and people can book there. That just helps us to plan the numbers, and if it's very popular, then we'll put in a couple of leaders to maybe take two different groups around at the same time.
Jolly good. Excellent. Well, we hope the sun shines on you and
thank you.
You spot lots of lovely birds.
Yes, we hope spring will be along by then, and it'll be good.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
And I was talking there to Dan Fletcher from St Albans RSPB. Now, I'll be back at 7 p.m. next week when we'll hear from Look St Albans about their collaboration with local world-leading building specialist BRE, and Paul Thistlethwaite from Thinking Box St Albans will be talking about his event for Sustainable St Albans Week. Until then, thank you for listening.